We're up here in the mountain states, where the rebels run and play. The Aggies got old Keaton back, and Boise chose to stay. I'm on that Mountain West connection, and I'm going to soundbite my hot takes. My internet's up and wired, and my Skype is up and at 'em for that Mountain West Sprott's hot takes. Well, I'm gonna travel up to Reno, and I'm going to travel to Fresno. I'll take the train to Albuquerque and fly the plane to Hawaii. I've got that Mountain West connection. Gonna see Colorado State. Gonna fly with the Falcons and surf with the Aztecs on that journey from San Jose to Wyoming.
All right, welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Website, everybody should know it. If not, get to it, mwcconnection.com. That's our website we have for our little shindig we do here for the podcast. You can always subscribe. We prefer you subscribe. We'd love it if you'd subscribe. Block Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, we're on there as well. Let's go to Pocket Cast, add our feed there. I'm Jeremy Moss. No Matt Kennerly this afternoon because we did not schedule properly, and we should have done our preview for this show, which is going to be the Cactus and Arizona Bowl prior to Christmas. But it's kind of a good thing we did it because there's actually some news surrounding the bowl game as well, but mainly for the more so on the Cactus Bowl with the players playing or, more importantly, not playing in this matchup. We also have a couple of interviews from we've got Michael Wilson from PacificTakes.com is down there for us, helping us out. So you get to listen to a few of his interviews that he did during a media day. That was, I believe, right now. We recorded this Monday morning here, so or Monday afternoon. So he got to talk with players. So we'll, at a midway point, we'll get to hear from at least. We have a couple of guys right now for sure. We have Jeremy McNichols, who, if you haven't heard now, he's going pro, announced it officially. Monday, speculation about a week or so ago. We also have Brett Rippon, the QB, and I'm working on getting, depending on when it gets to me or not, could hear from head coach Brian Harsin. If not, I may add it at some point or make it its own little post within the podcast feed here, so look out for that stuff. But it is myself, so hopefully everybody had a, if you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate this time of year, not working. Hey, that's always a good thing to celebrate, not having a couple of days off over the holiday break, watching a ton of football. This will not be a recap show for the, it's been a while, Poinsettia Bowl, Hawaii Bowl, or the, space at one of them. Shoot. Let's look that up really quick. We're not reviewing. We already reviewed, we did the New Mexico Bowl. We did the Vegas Bowl. I am spacing big time. There's three bowl games, which shows how much I know about everything here, but it's Christmas. I'm spacing my mind. So, yes, we will review Poinsettia. The Ice Skating Rink Bowl, or otherwise known as Idaho Bowl, or Coach Paul Petrino, get us into the Mountain West Bowl because we're 2-0. We'll review all those games later this week. We'll review those three plus the two I'm talking about tonight, both Arizona Bowl games, probably right after the new year. So if you're clamoring for a recap, we have some on the website, but you'll hear me and Matt chat about that in about a week or so once all the bowl season, at least the Mountain West side, is up and completed. A couple of notes really quick. We did this last year. We already got a lot more interaction. Could be because we're promoting it better or doing it better. Me and Matt will do a show on this later, but I just want to give people a heads up. Over at the website, again, mwcconnection.com, we have our pro athlete and college athlete. These are players who played their time with a current Mountain West school. Current. So if they were in the WAC or they're not in this conference at some other point, or like Hawaii, we fudged a bit with Hawaii because it's only football and they don't have a ton of they have good athletes, obviously, but compared to what you can get from Colorado State, Boise State, Air Force, we have more sports to work with, whether it's Olympic sport, baseball, soccer. We're going wide range for Hawaii sports, so it's not just football, even though that's their only part in the league, so we had a few questions about that. But we have our pro athletes, finals of the year, voting's underway. Let me give you a quick, I won't go through all the stats or details, but here's what we have for the pro side. Boise State, Miami running back Jay Ajayi, having a great year, starting a midway point, I want to say, at a couple 200-yard rushing games. Derek Carr, Oakland Raiders, could be MVP, but man, former Fresno State QB, if you're unaware, I'm still upset the Houston Texans did not draft him. Because if you know anything about Texans football, it's Yeah, they're in the playoffs, but the quarterback play has been a joke. Fortunately, just the other day, week 16, broke, I think, a tibia-fibia combo out 6 to 8 weeks. So probably done for you. Fortunate for him, but his year so far has been pretty good. One of this was Colin Kaepernick, Nevada. Yes, he played in the WAC days, but he's considered current team. Nevada was tough. There wasn't, unfortunately, not a ton of good pro prospects, but that's what we have here. Kawhi Leonard, Spurs, former Aztec. Nah, not a shock there. He won last year. Won just really quick defensive player of the year last year. Won a couple NBA titles, doing quite well in the pros. UNLV, Ryan Moore, PGA golfer, helped Team USA win Ryder Cup, first time in nearly a decade. Larry Nance Jr., Lakers, Wyoming. Just call him Dunk Master. Hopefully, so hopeful that he gets to the NBA dunk contest because he's been throwing him down this year. Then you got Clover Gwynn, Detroit Lions, former Lobo safety. Weston Richburg, current New York Giant offensive lineman, played for the Rams. Then you have Carlos Torres, currently with the Milwaukee Brewers, former San Jose State pitcher. He's kind of a journeyman, but he actually did pretty good last year. Had one of his best career year, doing quite well in relief. 78 strikeouts in 82 innings. Whip of just a 1.1, doing pretty well. Also, his WAR was not too bad at 2.2. Bobby Wagner, Seattle Seahawks, former Aggie, leading the NFL, I believe at this time, total tackles. One of the best defenders. And then you got Steven Wright, Boston Red Sox, former Hawaii pitcher. Again, we kind of fudged it a little bit. Had a pretty good last year, 13-6. So current athletes. Again, you can go vote on these on the Google Doc. I think if you're in different IP addresses, you can vote more than once. So let's just say vote early and vote often, as much as you prefer to do. So, and we have a Google Doc at the end of these. So college side really quick. These are guys who played in the 2016 calendar year. Bryan Hill, Wyoming. Has not yet made a decision as of this recording to his NFL prospects or not. Griffin Jacks, Air Force pitcher, first team All Mountain West, 9-2 record. He's also the highest player ever drafted from Air Force Academy this past year. Jeremy McNichols, Boise State, has said he's going to the NFL, giving up his final year of eligibility. Jalen Moore, Utah State forward. Doing pretty good this year. Aggies could be better, but he's from last year until now doing quite well. And then Colorado State, Ellen Nystrom, Rams basketball team, won a conference title, 31-1, a top 25 ranking, leading the team in scoring and rebounds pretty well. Also, Cameron Oliver, now sophomore for Nevada, did well last year. Nevada, hey, they're the Mountain West's only hope for an at-large bid for the NCAA tournament, and even that is a bit iffy at this point. Kenny Potter, not a lot. With the basketball being down, you got to go something. So Potter, Spartans QB. Donald Pumphrey, San Diego State. No real reason to not to say who he is, or to no need for an explanation, I should say. Now the not air quotes, but sort of asterisk NCAA all time leading rusher, just because they don't count postseason stats. If they did, he'd still be number three all time. So he won. I think he won last year as well, but I think he's leading at the moment. And then for UNLV, going soccer, Lily Sender, Mountain West Player of the Year. Was a first team All American, first time ever in team league or school history, NCAA tournament, 15 goals, 23 assists, I think, if that's correct. Katie Spiler, Hawaii, beach volleyball. If you go watch beach volleyball, that's always fun. And then New Mexico, Carl Stodger, baseball, hit 351, 432, 658, 17 home runs. And then finally, Fresno State, Ricky Tyler Thomas. Bulldogs clinched the Mountain West baseball regular season title because of pitching, and he did quite well, 9-4. So quick rundown, probably a bit longer than I wanted to, but go vote. It's going until New Year, so me and Matt will probably have another post talking about this more in depth. All right, let's get to the bowl games now. We are going to discuss, like I mentioned, the Cactus Bowl is up first. You have Boise State taking on Baylor Bears. The way the Mountain West got to this bowl game was because the Pac-12 did not have enough teams. And part of that was Washington making the playoffs, so it moved everybody up in order in the pecking line for what bowl game you're going to. So you got Boise versus Baylor. Boise State 10-2. Baylor 6-6. Baylor's a complete mess, man. They start off good. They start off 6-0. People were talking about, because everybody knows the you got Jim Grobe, the head coach, taking over Art Briles for all these on-campus stuff that happened. I think it was sexual misconduct, sexual assault, something. Not obviously not good at all. And so people are like, how are they going to do this year? Do people want to vote him in? If they play well, they started off 6-0, but then they lost their final six games. They have been just a mess over the past. Since October 29th, they lost to Texas. That started the losing streak. They've been giving up. Like, Baylor probably could still score points because they, in their losses, they're putting up points. Like, They lost 35-34 to Texas, but then offensively, they scored 22, 24, 21, 35, 21. So pretty good. Not amazing for what Baylor's done before in the past, but their defense has just been a mess. Giving up well over 40 points per game. 35 to Texas, 62 to TCU, 45 to Oklahoma, 42 to Kansas State, 54 to Texas Tech, and then somehow West Virginia only managed 24 points. So this team, like, I don't know what their motivation is. You already also had the receiver, Cannon, said that he's going to guarantee a win for a new head coach, Matt Rhule, coming over from Temple. They got a lot final game for Jim Grobe. You have their offensive coordinator not being around anymore because I believe he's off to FAU with Lane Kiffin, if that's my correct idea. Kendall Briles accept OC position at Florida Atlantic, and that was just a couple days ago. And so does that mean he's leaving the bowl game? Is he going to play in the bowl game? And so, yeah, it says he's now from Dallas Morning News. He's now former offensive coordinator. And so far that has been the news and how it affects the Cactus Bowl. I'm looking for new updated news here, but it's just another mess that's going to be at the Cactus Bowl. Like Baylor, they've lost six in a row. They've just been a bad team the past 6 weeks. New coach coming in, players not playing in the bowl game. It's just a complete mess. I don't know what their focus level is like. I know the players, it's an extra football game, so once they get in the field, they want to play well and do well, but it's kind of interesting to see here. How are they going to really handle all the change going on? Because the big deal with you have Shaq Linwood, who is following Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette not playing the bowl game to go to the NFL draft. But here's the thing. Linwood is not McCaffrey. He is not Fournette. He's very good. Baylor's all-time leading rusher. So obviously cannot doubt his talent, what he has for his team. But he also had attitude issues this year. So him skipping the bowl game, I get his points. Like, season's weird. It's not that great. It's not doing well. But here's the thing. Well, Linwood's not even the team's leading rusher this year. He has 751 yards, only two touchdowns. Terrence Williams is the running back. He has almost 1,000 yards and 11 TDs. So Linwood, while he's had a good career, he's also had discipline issues where he had to sit out at least one game, the Oklahoma game. And in his past two games, he's had three of his past four games he's played fewer than 10 carries. He had 24 versus Kansas State. So it's not like he would have been obviously, losing a key player would be tough, but it's not like he was the guy for Baylor. So Boise needs to watch out for Terrence Williams. But there's just so much of a mess. Like I said, Matt Rhule's coming in to be the coach. Jim Grobe took it on for 1 year. They have Seth Russell. He's a pretty good quarterback. But the offense hasn't been, I guess, Baylor-esque the past while. But the defense has just been, I think Boise could just exploit them overall on this defense. But the game itself, I probably should mention a date and time. Tuesday, December 27th. So this is a bit later than I'd like it to be. I mean, producing a podcast here, not the game time. It's a little bit later, 8:15 kick. It's out at the good old baseball Chase Field out in Phoenix, ESPN. Like I said, 8:15 p.m. Mountain Time kick, 10:15 Eastern. So it is probably school/work night. So if you stay up late, kudos to you. Boise's only 7.5-point favorite. I thought it'd be a bit more after, especially the OC news. And it's just, like I said, there's just a bunch of mess going on. But yeah, so like I was saying, Baylor has a dozen players who are looking. 12 seniors have publicly voiced their intention about giving the NFL a shot. Okay, seniors are not being back, but like they have a lot of guys who are focus is going to be at a premium for this game, and I don't know if Baylor's going to have it. And I'm thinking that's the reason why that 7.5 points is way, way, way too low for a Boise State. Now, Boise shouldn't overlook Baylor as well, but they just need to win this game. And also, really quick, I should have done a bit more research here. Seth Russell had ankle surgery back on November, and I believe he's out for the year. We'll take a look at that really, because I don't think he's played the past couple of games. I thought I checked into every injury a bit, but a lot of stuff going on for Baylor. He hasn't played in 3 weeks. Let me check the depth chart really quick. But here's what Boise State has going for him. Brett Rippon, he's obviously going to be back. He can't go to the NFL because of his status. He'd be 3 years removed from high school to do so. McNichols is gone, but he, like you'll hear later in chat with Michael Wilson, who's helping us out down there, he's focusing on the game. It's his last game. And that makes sense because he could be drafted, but there's a lot of good running backs too, so where he'll be drafted, we'll get into that stuff later, but he's the only guy not going to be here. But also, Arizona's a place where Boise's done well. They won multiple Fiesta Bowls there. They're familiar there, and they were out in the Arizona a couple years ago during Brian Harsin's first season out there where he beat University of Arizona in that Fiesta Bowl in the first post-BCS matchup in the Big Money Bowl games. where they just did their thing. But here, Boise just needs to do their thing. Like, defense is going to be fine. Offense will be fine against this Baylor team. They should be able to put up a ton of points against this Baylor team. Because, like I said, give up over 40-plus points the last couple of past six games. West Virginia game, that's a little concerning because they held them to only 24 points. And West Virginia is they're a good top where they rank 16th in the country. They're not a similar team to Boise State. They little spread. Boise doesn't do that spread too much. They do more passers, obviously hand the ball off. But nonetheless, a good team put up lots of points against West Virginia and Diddy, who is a very good team. Really quick, quarterback depth chart. I know I should have looked up this before, but it wouldn't be anything without a little bump in the road during our show, what we do here, especially with me at the helm tonight solo. Yeah, Zach Smith is getting the start. He's on the official Cactus Bowl depth chart, so there is, like, honestly, there's no reason Boise State should lose this game. If you look at Football Study Hall, I believe this is the highest win probability. They're giving Boise State 84% win probability over from Bill Colony, 17-point projected margin of victory, average score 40.6 to 23.2. Now, this doesn't mean guaranteed victory by any means, but backup quarterback, one of your better running backs is not in the game for Baylor. Like I said, a dozen players looking ahead to NFL draft. There's just so much distractions. There's only so much you can say about what's going on. But Boise need to stay focused because they're probably a little upset they didn't go to the conference title again despite having a 10-win season. Two losses came in league, so knock them out. But give them a month to prepare, and they'll do good things. And I get it's probably it's a better matchup because – I get if you play teams like, because they weren't going to play BYU just because that would have been a rematch. And going to the Idaho Bowl, they didn't want to stay at home. So this is the bet. They weren't going to Hawaii or New Mexico Bowl. So it's a good matchup because some of the Mountain West teams they play, Baylor's more of a name team. I know Middle Tennessee State, who Hawaii played. Who cares about the Blue Raiders, really, in the big picture of things? But they're a good football team. They put up a lot of points. They could have played Houston, but they didn't win the conference title. Those are two ones that are good names. Houston would have been the other big name, but the bowl opponents, Middle Tennessee State, Idaho. It's like playing UTSA. And so name recognition, they're going to be pumped. They want to beat a Big 12 school to get in there. I think they'll do it. There's been no reason. You should see McNichols run wild. You should see Spurback and Burt Urban have a big game. One note for Boise, I should have mentioned prior, about players not playing. Dylan Sumner-Gardner out. Some more academic issues, team violation, team rules. He's just never panned out. He's a four-star guy out of Mesquite, Texas. He started right away. He only played 10 games the past 2 years, part of it injury, part of it suspension. He missed the first couple of games of this year, I think the first four, I want to say. Despite that, playing six games, he's on track for his best season to date. But he's no longer with the program. And losing players, a guy who started and contributed, is a big deal. So we'll see if that comes to effect with Baylor, because they will want to pass the ball a lot. But again, like I said, they don't have their starting running back in there. Russell is not playing. And they're going with a guy who has played. His experience isn't really, obviously, Seth Russell's going to get a crack at the NFL at some point. He's going to do something, probably stick around with somebody. But really quick with Zach Smith, what he has done in his three games as a starter, he's done okay. All losses, obviously. Doesn't run at all, so it's going to be a passing guy. It's not a like RG3 guy at Baylor who's going to run or move it around a lot. He has six interceptions in those three starts. He's thrown for almost a... Math here, quick about 900, almost 1,000 yards, complete over about 58% of his passes. He did 48 versus West Virginia, but he's pretty accurate. So that's the thing, he could maybe pick apart the Boise defense at times, the accuracy. Not that the Big 12 is great defense, but Texas Tech, not very good defense. Here's the reason why. He passed 65% versus Texas Tech. Kansas State defense, not too bad, but West Virginia just 48. So he'll pick a spot. He does make mistakes. And so giving him more time to prepare also benefits him as well. But I think with Boise, like, looking at what Baylor does well, it's just tale of two seasons where they had great first half and then just a horrendous second half where they're just not doing anything well at all. They're basically average in running the ball. They're pretty good at success rate running the ball, but overall they're just right above average. Like I said, Terrence Williams leads the team with nearly 1,000 yards. Here's something that's pretty good. Basically, yards after contact, almost 5.8 yards. So he's just pretty good. Or yards per opponent, hit per opponent. So one time he gets hit, He gets about 6 yards, basically the same yards per carry. So a guy that averages almost 6 yards a carry, this Boise defense needs to slow that down, because if he goes off and goes 5 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards, 9 yards, that's going to give them a long day. And then Baylor's passing, which normally has been great. I know they got a new QB, but they're bottom third in the NCAA. They're about 86 in passing offense. Success rate, not much better. There's just so much crap going on. And Katie Cannon, who said he's going to get a victory for new head coach Matt Rhule, he's going to be the guy they need to target on, because he has 120 passes thrown his way, catches near over 60%, which is pretty solid, 13 yards per catch. So he's their deep threat guy. They also have Ishmael Zamora, also a deep threat guy. Even more so, Chris Platt, who has almost 17 yards per catch. Only caught 29 passes, but they still have the – they're still – it's just hard to break down this team. If it's a second half team, Boise State should win no easy. But if it's the first half team where Boise's throwing the ball, or Baylor's throwing the ball well, putting up a lot of points, then I can see some trouble for the Broncos. But I just think Baylor's so dysfunctional. Maybe that's not the right word, but focus is not there. There's a lot, because like I said, coaches are going in and out, losing OC, new head coach coming in. Their all-time leader rusher's not playing. Guy guaranteed a victory. A dozen players are already looking ahead to the NFL senior. So I'm going Boise's going to win. And they're going to win by, I don't think it'll be runaway victory, because my Idaho victory versus Colorado State was way off. I think Boise will win by about, I'll go 13 points. I'll cover the win by about two touchdowns. We'll go with that. We'll go two touchdowns. So that's my prediction for that game. And so really quick, we'll take a quick break here. And like I said, we have the interviews for Michael Wilson. Like I said, you have Jeremy McNichols. You'll have Brett Rippid. Cross my fingers. I may have, depending when I post this, looks like we'll have also head coach, Brian Harsin as well on here. So we'll take a look at that. He might be on this podcast or maybe later. So take a quick break. I'll listen to those guys and what they think about the game. And then we'll be back for the previewing the lovely Arizona Bowl.
Jeremy Mike Wilson, nice to meet you. So has this been a big talk with you in recent months about, you know, jumping to the pros?
Yeah, but at this time I'm just focused on the game. It's already out there, so I'm not going to be talking about that anymore. I'm going to be talking about the game.
Sure. Now, you being the running back, and you got to face those guys at Baylor, and they've had some big boys in recent years there. What concerns you with that, with facing them?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's a concern, but they are really good on defense, and they do got big guys up front, and they do have athletes that can run. So that's the biggest thing I see on their defense. And I think we have a good game plan that can beat that.
Now, what should they be concerned with you? Like, what are you going to bring to the table that maybe they haven't seen before?
I mean, I think playing 12 games, you really can't bring anything out your last game. You know, everything's already out.
It's kind of there, right?
It's there. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to play my game no matter what. I know everybody else is going to play their game. We're not gonna change much. You know, it's really hard to change after a whole season. And those guys got your film. So, I mean, we're going to be Boise State at the end of the day.
Okay. Now, this is not really football related, but what do you do to relax?
I mean, I'm at home with my roommates and everything, or some teammates. And
are you a video game guy?
Yeah, I was about to say, we just play Xbox, play 2K or Madden.
Okay, Madden.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So those are my favorite things.
Those are your favorite things to do? What do you like about Boise? Like, what brought you out to Boise?
Man, I say the community and the people. I mean, yeah. I remember when I first went there on my official visit.
Like, where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Long Beach, California.
Long Beach, okay. All right.
So I come from, you know, the sun and everything like that.
Culture snow. Shock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge culture shock. So I got there and I seen snow and it was freezing. But the thing that brought me to Boise was the people. I mean, where I'm from, you know, you go into a store, everybody, like, looks at you kind of weird and things like that.
Yeah.
And, like, but I go to Boise and I go to the store and it's like people are saying hi to you or how's your day. So that was big for me. You know, the people are, everybody's nice out there. And
is that what you tell recruits when they show up? When they show up?
Yeah, it's going to be, because most of the recruits come from
big cities,
you know, hard neighborhoods and things like that. So that's the biggest thing I tell them. You're going to meet the best people, and you also get a chance to get away from home and see something different.
Do something different, right? Now, how would you describe your head coach? Is he a hard ass? Is he player's coach? Is he somewhere in between?
I think he's a player's coach, and I think he works extremely hard, and he's extremely motivated to be the best, and he hates to lose. So he that vibe goes off on the whole team, and we kind of get that vibe from him. And that's why we work hard, because it starts from the top and it trickles down to us.
Like, you don't want to let them down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
A little bit more about these Arizona recruits you've brought in over the past few years. Do you see any common characteristics or traits out of these guys? And you mentioned, you know, kind of looking for that type of player.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there are some characteristics. One, you know, I think a lot of the guys that we recruit here, they know Boise State, they've known of Boise State, that they have some type of connection, whether it's actually have been in Boise or been around the campus, or just, you know, maybe a little bit of a love affair with the program because of, you know, the history that we've had in Arizona. Either way, when you talk to them, they're excited. And I think the guys that we've brought into our program from here, they've come from really good programs. They've come from places that have won. They come from schools where they've done well academically. And, you know, I think that's been probably the most common thread, is we've had successful players that have been excited about Boise coming to our program at Arizona. And, you know, the location, I think in their minds too, the opportunities that we can play games where their families can get to, I think is a big part of it as well. But overall, they've all been, you know, very productive players. We haven't had really any come out of Arizona that haven't been productive players for us, and probably some of our best.
Do you think that seeing Jake get early playing time and having that early success has kind of helped the past few classes?
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, Richie Brockle, Jake Rowe, guys like that have come in and played for us. That's a huge part of it. And certainly the other players here, they know who they are, and that gets them excited as well. And when guys come home, they're talking to them. And I just feel like in Arizona, I feel like we've got a really good group of connections here with our coaches. And they know the type of guys we're looking for. And when they have one, they're going to let us know. And we've got to obviously decide if that's the right fit. But that's why I think it's been such a great area for us.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coach, how you doing?
Hey.
Mike Wilson.
Hey, Mike.
Hey. With these few players that are moving on to the NFL before the bowl game, like McCaffrey and Fournette, what's your view on that? Because, you know, there's a lot of people
playing?
Of not playing, yeah.
Yeah, mixed.
Mixed?
Yeah, really mixed.
Why?
Just
curious.
Well, I think this. I think, you know, what's bothered me is, you know, I've heard rumors of people talking about bowl games have been diminished and they're not as important, and I completely disagree. And I think that's absolutely false. I think bowl games are extremely important. I think this is what you work for, to be in a game and to have some type of matchup. You have no idea what it's going to be, you know, by conference sometimes, but like in this one, it changes.
Yeah.
And from not playing, I'm just not, you know, to me, I'm kind of an old school guy. And,
sure.
And, yeah, you play the game. You play the game because you love playing it. You play the game because this is what you do, because you have very few opportunities to do it. And what's more concerning is I don't put it on the kids. I there's always that business side. You can throw that out there and say that's logical.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many outside noises that I think get into these players' heads or families or whatever. And if that's really what the coach and the player decides, then that's what's best for them. But if not, let them play. But we certainly put that in their heads. And playing the game, if you're not 1,000% into it and your mind's not right that you want to go out there and compete, then you shouldn't go play. And I feel like there's a lot of noise out there that allows a player to kind of be a little bit hesitant. And I wish that wasn't the case, because these guys love – the reason why they're good, they love it. They love playing. And, you know, I just get excited that when you have a chance to play, don't miss the opportunity.
Sure. Now, I'm usually a Pac-12 guy, so I'm covering you guys for the Mountain West Conference. And so I know that you guys played a couple Pac-12 teams. You played Wazoo and you played Oregon State. Are you going to continue to try and and schedule those Pac-12 teams?
Well, we do, yeah. Our future schedule, we still have Oregon State in it, I believe. I know we have Washington State next year. But now we're getting into, you know, we're getting to Florida State, we're getting to Michigan State, we're getting to Oklahoma State. So there's a few more on there. BYU is always
is always
on
there.
Our schedule. Yeah. We've got them every year for, I think, for the next 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're going to be on there because that's such a great game for our fans. And then I don't know, looking ahead, there's a couple other Pac-12 teams on there, but
sure.
That's been good for us. You know, when we played the Washington States, we played the Oregon States, we played Oregon's, played Washington the second year, and, you know, those are good games for us because those obviously – very good opponents, and if we have a chance to go in there and beat them, that obviously helps us and springboards us into a bigger conversation. But I also think for the fans, it makes a lot of sense.
In recruiting.
No doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of those schools, the ones that we talked about, you know, we battle with quite a bit. You know, there's some other Pac-12s that we don't. You know, we don't even, you know, mess with,
sure.
with guys, or we're just in different areas in recruiting. But we're seeing the Pac-12 a lot more than we see the Big 12, because when we get
sure.
to Texas, you know, there's a certain guy in there recruiting as well.
One more question. With McNichols going to the pros, what do you think he's going to bring to any team that drafts him?
Well, that's a great question because there's a variety. Jay and Jeremy were two different backs.
Yeah.
Jay is a downhill, physical...
knock you over kind of guy.
He will run you over. And Jeremy's got the ability to do that as well. But he's more of a slash bounce and a guy that you can use in a lot of different roles, you know, even as a receiver. So, you know, he's played well for us. He's going to have to bring, you know, more of that physicality at that next level when you do run between the tackles, because those guys are really good. But he's got vision and he's got ability to bounce. And I think that's the one thing. You know, he gives you that little bit of, all right, we're going to spread you out. And the NFL is doing more of this. Spread you out and let him run a little bit, create some space for him, or get him out on some routes and let him go make some plays.
Is there a guy in the NFL that you see him kind of akin to?
You know, I wouldn't say as thick, but is it David Johnson?
For the Cardinals.
Yeah, for the Cardinals. A little bit where he's just, you split him out. He's a mismatch on some things. You can split him out and get him on a linebacker. You can
sure.
go and throw it to him. And I think he's a guy that you can use in a variety of ways. But, you know, watching Johnson, and they're built a little bit different, but I see a lot of similarities that way.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, great. How are you? A little bit more about the Arizona recruits you've brought in over the past few years. Do you see any common characteristics or traits out of these guys? And you mentioned, you know, kind of looking for that type of player.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there are some characteristics. One, you know, I think a lot of the guys that we recruit here, they know Boise State. They've known of Boise State. That they have some type of connection, whether it's actually have been in Boise or been around the campus, or just, you know, maybe a little bit of a love affair with the program because of, you know, the history that we've had in Arizona. Either way, when you talk to them, they're excited. And I think the guys that we've brought into our program from here, they've come from really good programs. They've come from places that have won. They've come from schools where they've done well academically. And, you know, I think that's been probably the most common thread is we've had successful players that have been excited about Boise coming to our program at Arizona. And, you know, the location, I think in their minds too, the opportunities that we can play games where their families can get to, I think is a big part of it as well. But overall, they've all been, you know, very productive players. We haven't had really any come out of Arizona that haven't been productive players for us and probably some of our best.
Do you think that seeing Jake get early playing time and having that early success has kind of helped the past few classes?
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, Richie Brockle, Jake Rowe, you guys like that have come in and played for us. That's a huge part of it. And certainly the other players here, they know who they are, and that gets them excited as well. And when guys come home, they're talking to them. And I just feel like in Arizona, I feel like we've got a really good group of connections here with our coaches. And they know the type of guys we're looking for. And when they have one,
they're going to let us know, and we've got to obviously decide if that's the right fit. But that's why I think it's been such a great area for us.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Coach, how you doing?
Hey.
Mike Wilson.
Mike.
Hey. With these few players that are moving on to the NFL before the bowl game, like McCaffrey and Fournette, what's your view on that? Because, you know, there's a lot of people.
Of not playing?
Of not playing, yeah.
Yeah, mixed.
Mixed?
Yeah, really mixed.
Why? Just curious.
Well, I think this. I think, you know, what's bothered me is, you know, I've heard rumors of people talking about bowl games have been diminished and they're not as important, and I completely disagree. And I think that's absolutely false. I think bowl games are extremely important. I think this is what you work for, to be in a game and to have some type of matchup. You have no idea what it's going to be, you know, by conference sometimes, but like
sure.
in this one, it changes.
Yeah.
And from not playing, I'm just not, you know, to me, I'm kind of an old school guy. And,
sure.
And, you know, you play the game. You play the game because you love playing it. You play the game because this is what you do, because you have very few opportunities to do it. And what's more concerning is I don't put it on the kids. I there's always that business side. You can throw that out there
sure.
and say that's logical.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many outside noises that I think get into these players' heads or families or whatever. And if that's really what the coach and the player decides, then that's what's best for them. But if not, let them play. But we certainly put that in their heads. And playing the game, if you're not 1,000% into it and your mind's not right that you want to go out there and compete, then you shouldn't go play. And I feel like there's a lot of noise out there that allows a player to kind of be a little bit hesitant. And I wish that wasn't the case, because these guys love – the reason why they're good, they love it. They
yeah.
love playing. And, you know, I just get excited that when you have a chance to play, don't miss the opportunity.
Sure. Now, I'm usually a Pac-12 guy,
mm-hmm.
so I'm covering you guys for the Mountain West Conference. And so I know that you guys played a couple Pac-12 teams. You played – Wazoo and you played Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to continue to try and schedule those Pac-12 teams?
Well, we do, yeah. Our future schedule, we still have Oregon State in it, I believe. I know we have Washington State next year. But now we're getting into, you know, we're getting to Florida State, we're getting to Michigan State, we're getting to Oklahoma State. So there's a few more on there. BYU is always on
there.
Our schedule. Yeah. We've got them every year for the next 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're going to be on there because that's such a great game for our fans. And then I don't know, looking ahead, there's a couple other Pac-12 teams on there, but
sure.
that's been good for us. You know, when we played the Washington States, we played the Oregon States, we played Oregon's, played Washington the second year, and, you know, those are good games for us because those obviously – very good opponents, and if we have a chance to go in there and beat them, that obviously helps us
yeah.
and springboards us into a bigger conversation. But I also think for the fans, it makes a lot of sense.
You're recruiting.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of those schools, the ones that we talked about, you know, we battle with quite a bit. You know, there's some other Pac-12s that we don't. You know, we don't even, you know, mess with,
sure.
with guys, or we're just in different areas in recruiting. But we're seeing the Pac-12 a lot more than we see the Big 12, because when we get
sure.
to Texas, there, you know, there's a certain
yeah.
guy in there recruiting as well.
One more question. With McNichols going to the pros, what do you think he's going to bring to any team that drafts him?
Well, that's a great question, because there's a variety. Jay and Jeremy were two different backs.
Yeah.
Jay is a downhill, physical...
knock you over kind of guy.
He will run you over. And Jeremy's got the ability to do that as well. But he's more of a slash bounce and a guy that you can use in a lot of different roles, you know, even as a receiver. So, you know, he's played well for us. He's going to have to bring, you know, more of that physicality at that next level when you do run between the tackles, because those guys are really good. But he's
sure.
got vision, and he's got ability to bounce. And I think that's the one thing. You know, he gives you that little bit of, all right, we're going to spread you out. And the NFL is doing more of this. Spread you out and let him run a little bit, create some space for him, or get him out on some routes and let him go make some plays.
Is there a guy in the NFL that you see him kind of akin to?
You know, I wouldn't say as thick, but is it David Johnson?
That, oh, for the Cardinals.
Yeah, for the Cardinals. A little bit where he's just, yeah, you split him out. He's a mismatch on some things. If you split him out and get him on a linebacker, you can go throw it to him. And I think he's a guy that you can use in a variety of ways. But, you know, watching Johnson, and they're built a little bit different, but I see a lot of similarities that way.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, great. How are you?
A little bit more about the Arizona recruits you've brought in over the past few years. Do you see any common characteristics or traits out of these guys? And you mentioned, you know, kind of looking for that type of player.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there are some characteristics. One, you know, I think a lot of the guys that we recruit here, they know Boise State. They've known of Boise State. But they have some type of connection, whether it's actually have been in Boise or been around the campus or just, you know, maybe a little bit of a love affair with the program because of, you know, the history that we've had in Arizona. Either way, when you talk to them, they're excited. And I think the guys that we've brought into our program from here, they've come from really good programs. They've come from places that have won. They've come from schools where they've done well academically. And, you know, I think that's been probably the most common thread is we've had successful players that have been excited about Boise coming to our program at Arizona. And, you know, the location, I think in their minds too, the opportunities that we can play games where their families can get to, I think is a big part of it as well. But overall, they've all been, you know, very productive players. We haven't had really any come out of Arizona that haven't been productive players for us and probably some of our best.
Do you think that seeing Jake get early playing time and have that early success has kind of helped the past few classes?
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, Richie Brockle, Jake Rowe, guys like that that have come in and played for us. That's a huge part of it. And certainly the other players here, they know who they are, and that gets them excited as well. And when guys come home, they're talking to them. And I just feel like in Arizona, I feel like we've got a really good group of connections here with our coaches. And they know the type of guys we're looking for. And when they have one, they're going to let us know, and we've got to obviously decide if that's the right fit. But that's why I think it's been such a great area for us.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate
Thank you.
Coach, how you doing?
Hey.
Mike Wilson.
Hey, Mike.
Hey. With these few players that are moving on to the NFL before the bowl game, like McCaffrey and Fournette, what's your view on that? Because, you know, there's a lot of people.
Of not playing?
Of not playing, yeah.
Yeah, mixed.
Mixed?
Yeah, really mixed.
Why? Just curious.
Well, I think this. I think, you know, what's bothered me is, you know, I've heard rumors of people talking about bowl games have been diminished and they're not as important, and I completely disagree. And I think that's absolutely false. I think bowl games are extremely important. I think this is what you work for, to be in a game and to have some type of matchup. You have no idea what it's going to be. You know, by conference sometimes, but like
sure.
in this one, it changes.
Yeah.
And not playing, I'm just not, you know, to me, I'm kind of an old school guy. And,
sure.
And, you know, you play the game. You play the game because you love playing it. You play the mm-hmm. game because this is what you do, because you have very few opportunities to do it. And what's more concerning is I don't put it on the kids. I there's always that business side. You can throw that out there
sure.
and say that's logical.
Yeah.
It's just there's so many outside noises that I think get into these players' heads or families or whatever. And if that's really what the coach and the player decides, then that's what's best for them. But if not, let them play. But we certainly put that in their heads. And playing the game, if you're not 1,000% into it, and your mind's not right that you want to go out there and compete, then you shouldn't go play. And I feel like there's a lot of noise out there that allows a player to kind of be a little bit hesitant. And I wish that wasn't the case, because these guys love – the reason why they're good, they love it. They
yeah.
love playing. And, you know, I just get excited that when you have a chance to play, don't miss the opportunity.
Sure. Now, I'm usually a Pac-12 guy,
mm-hmm.
so I'm covering you guys for the Mountain West Conference. And so I know that you guys played a couple Pac-12 teams. You played Wazoo and you played Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to continue to try and and schedule those Pac-12 teams?
Well, we do. Yeah, our future schedule, we still have Oregon State in it, I believe. I know we have Washington State next year. But now we're getting into, you know, we're getting to Florida State, we're getting to Michigan State, we're getting to Oklahoma State. So there's a few more on there. BYU is always
is always
on our schedule. Yeah. We've got them every year for, I think, for the next 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're going to be on there because that's such a great game for our fans. And then I don't know, looking ahead, there's a couple other Pac-12 teams on there, but
sure,
that's been good for us. You know, when we played the Washington States, we played the Oregon States, we played Oregon's, played Washington the second year, and, you know, those are good games for us because those obviously – very good opponents, and if we have a chance to go in there and beat them, that obviously helps us and springboards us into a bigger conversation. But I also think for the fans, it makes a lot of sense.
You're recruiting.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of those schools, the ones that we talked about, you know, we battle with quite a bit. You know, there's some other Pac-12s that we don't. You know, we don't even, you know, mess with,
sure,
with guys, or we're just in different areas in recruiting. But we're seeing the Pac-12 a lot more than we see the Big 12, because when we get to,
sure,
Texas, you know, there's a certain,
yeah,
guy in there recruiting as well.
One more question. With McNichols going to the pros, what do you think he's going to bring to any team that drafts him?
Well, that's a great question because there's a variety. Jay and Jeremy were two different backs.
Yeah.
You know, Jay is a downhill, physical,
knock you over kind of guy.
He will run you over. And Jeremy's got the ability to do that as well. But he's more of a slash bounce and a guy that you can use in a lot of different roles, you know, even as a receiver. So, you know, he's played well for us. He's going to have to bring, you know, more of that physicality at that next level when you do run between the tackles, because those guys are really good. But he's,
sure,
he's got vision and he's got ability to bounce. And I think that's the one thing. You know, he gives you that little bit of, all right, we're going to spread you out. And the NFL is doing more of this. Spread you out and let him run a little bit, create some space for him, or get him out on some routes and let him go make some plays.
Is there a guy in the NFL that you see him kind of akin to?
You know, I wouldn't say as thick, but is it David Johnson?
For the Cardinals.
Yeah, for the Cardinals. A little bit where he's just, you split him out. He's a mismatch on some things. You can split him out and get him on a linebacker. You can,
sure,
go throw it to him. And I think he's a guy that you can use in a variety of ways. But, you know, watching Johnson, and they're built a little bit different, but I see a lot of similarities that way.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, great. How are you?